This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Hello and welcome to Sounds Choral. I am your host, James Jordan from Westminster Choir College. Our program today previews a new CD, Silence Into Light, released this week and recorded by the Grammy-nominated Westminster Williamson Voices with your host, James Jordan, conducting on the GIA Choral Works label available on Amazon and iTunes. This disc was recorded in the magnificent Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia. And the CD explores the themes of light and silence as inspired by the great Philadelphia architect Louis Kahn. A quote from Louis Kahn, "Inspiration is the feeling of beginning at the threshold where silence and light meet. Silence, the unmeasurable, desire to be, a desire to express, the source of new need meets light, the measurable giver of all presence, by will, by law, the measure of things already made, at a threshold which is inspiration, the true sanctuary of art, the treasury of shadow." Silence Into Light, the title of this CD, is derived from this quote of the legendary architect Louis Kahn. It seems, at least from an observer and admirer of his work, that Louis Kahn contemplated the relationships between silence and light, and the importance of the interaction of both with our human experience. Louis Kahn has been a longtime inspiration for me. He deeply believed that buildings were the product of human dreams manifest in concrete and building material, and if the architecture had merit after its construction, would return to the original dream of the architect. This disc is really about pieces that are varying musical angles of refracted human light through sound. Although this title is Silence Into Light, the track order on the CD progresses from light to silence, the silence following the last Amen chord in the Parrot's Prayer after the canon. Kahn's buildings have a great internal silence built into them. In many ways, Kahn's buildings, at least for me, are the physical manifestation of the inner life container of the honest musician, a kind of vast cylindrical openness bathed in refracted light. For in the end, as artists, it is our responsibility to be the light bearers for the craft of composers. This recording project was a deeply emotional journey for me. The same can be said for the choir, but in other deeply personal ways. The selections are from my personal musical journey that cast light into me for one reason or another. The first piece conducted from my teacher Wilhelm Amon, the first piece that gave me a glimpse into honest music making, the first attempt at commissioning a piece, and the first commission for Westminster Williamson Voices. The first piece I ever taught using the ideas of Edwin Gordon and harmonic immersion solfege, and the life-altering Arvo Pärt Canon Pokajanen. The Paternoster of James Whitburn represents a long and valued friendship between myself and the ensemble and the composer for over 10 years, a friendship that has profoundly influenced us all. Unique to this recording will be a companion volume written by myself and the singers to give conductors and teachers an insight to approaching these scores, including techniques developed by the ensemble using voice sciences as a guide. Finally, I would like to note that this CD is dedicated to the memory of Lindsay Christensen, a dear, brilliant colleague and a deeply passionate teacher. She inspired her students in her 40 years at Westminster Choir College and understood how to teach them about the thin between silence and the light that musicians must inhabit. Lindsay's life reminds us of how brilliantly radiant, passionate, brave, and committed a musical life can be. Dan Forrest's Entreat Me Not to Leave You was sung specifically with Lindsay in mind. I hope that you not only hear our love for her, but also the light she gave us all refracted in what you hear on this disc. the opening track on the CD, Silence Into Light, Eric Whitaker, Lux Aramque. A note from Eric Whitaker. After deciding upon the poem by Edward Ashe, I had it translated into Latin by the celebrated American poet Charles Anthony Silvestri. A simple approach is essential to the success of the work, and if the tight harmonies are carefully tuned and balanced, they will shimmer and grow. The next work you are about to hear is the Paternoster by British composer James Whitburn. Paternoster was written in 2016 and is a setting of the Latin text of the Lord's Prayer. The work seeks to reflect the timelessness and structural beauty of the prayer. While avoiding direct quotation, the piece draws audibly on the tradition of chant that has infused Western and Eastern liturgy for hundreds of years. The key of C major can be said to offer notational clarity by providing an uncomplicated canvas in which these sacred words can rest. The setting was written for the wedding of Isabella Burns, co-editor of a chant collection and a member of Westminster Williamson Voices. Should be noted that the first public performance was given by the choir of King's College, Cambridge. The Paternoster by James Whitburn.
Thank you.
That was the Paternoster by British composer James Whitburn, a setting of the Lord's Prayer. Next is a highly personal piece for me, a work by American composer Jackson Hill, translated from the Japanese, which is When Spring is Born at Last. This piece is one of the five settings of Japanese texts about the changing seasons, one about each season with a parallel metaphor concerning remembered love, which can also be considered as a metaphor for the seasons. The five-piece set grew out of a set of individual commissions, the remaining being Voices of Autumn in 1982, In Winter's Keeping 2001, commissioned by Chanticleer, Remembered Love 2004, commissioned by the Kingsingers, and Summer Dreams 2006, commissioned by the Lyric Concert. This work, When Spring is Born at Last, was composed in 2004 for myself, James Jordan, and the Westminster Williamson Voices for our inaugural concert as an ensemble at Westminster Choir College.
Thank you.
So that was a performance, actually the premiere recording of When Spring is Born at Last by American composer Jackson Hill. Again, this is on a newly released disc, Silence into Light, by the Westminster Williamson Voices, conducted by your host. Moving on, a motet by Albert Becker. Becker's dates are 1809 to 1897, and the German title is Ich bin die Auferstehung, translated, I am the resurrection and the life. The text is from John 11:25-26, and the chorale, Jesus meine Zuversicht. Albert Becker, who taught composition to John Sibelius, is a romantic composer who worked at the same time as Johannes Brahms, remarkably. Becker's compositional style obviously reflects the sound world of Brahms, yet never loses the contrapuntal sensibilities and lineage of the German Renaissance Cantus Firmus motet, as well as inherent and very direct allusions to Gregorian chant. That was a motet by the German composer Albert Becker, Ich bin die Auferstehung, translated, I am the resurrection and the life. We're going to move to two settings of Ubi Caritas. First, you will hear the chant done by the entire choir, followed by the brilliant motet by French composer Maurice Duruflé. Regarding the Ubi Caritas chant from the 9th century, Maundy Thursday is derived from Jesus' ultimate lesson on charity and humility. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, John 13:34. The Mass said on this day celebrates the institution of the Holy Eucharist and Maundy Thursday washing of the feet. Of the many antiphons sung during this liturgy, the final is Ubi Caritas. Maurice Duruflé took the literal chant and set it in one of the most beautiful settings of motets that we know in the choral literature. This is one of the four motets that sets a Gregorian tune. Maurice Durufly composed the four motets on Gregorian themes in 1960 and dedicated them to Auguste de la Gouinande, director of the Gregorian Institute in Paris. Each motet begins with an incipit of the Gregorian chant, which serves as the melodic basis for the piece that follows it. Ubi Caritas is the first of the four motets. So once again, you will hear the original Gregorian chant sung by the choir, followed immediately by Durufly's stunning setting of that tune and text.
Exulte in unus et in illis.
What you just heard was the setting of the chant Ubi Caritas, sung by the Westminster Williamson Voices on their new recording, Silence into Light, followed by the setting of the chant of Ubi Caritas by the French composer Maurice Durufly. We now move to a stunning new composition, relatively new, entitled Entreat Me Not to Leave You by Dan Forrest, which is based on the text adapted from Ruth 1:16 and 17. The biblical text adapted from Ruth, depicting the unwavering loyalty of Ruth to her mother-in-law after the death of her husband and in-laws. Forrest uses the line, "Entreat me not to leave you," as the mantra of the piece, repeatedly returning it as the harmonic tension of the piece builds. Out of this emerges a tender melody in the sopranos. Where you go, I will go, and where you live, I will live. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. This piece is dedicated to the memory of Professor Lindsay Christensen, and again you're about to hear Entreat Me Not to Leave You by American composer Dan Forrest.
Thank you.
What you just heard was the beautiful setting of the texts of Ruth, 1:16 and 17, by American composer Dan Forrest, Entreat Me Not to Leave You. We are listening to tracks from a new CD, Silence into Light, recorded by the Westminster Williamson Voices, on the GIA Choral Works label conducted by your host, James Jordan. We would like to now turn to motets of Felix Mendelssohn. The first is Herr nun lässest du deinen Diener in Frieden fahren, the translation being, Lord, now lettest thy servant now depart in peace according to thy word. It's unusual. There's a solo quartet in this motet. The soprano is Jennifer Halliday. The alto is Alex Meekum. The tenor is Christopher Napa. And the bass is René Milleville. In Mendelssohn's life, he wrote over 60 motets. The remarkable thing is that no two are similar in their voicing or in their content. Some are homophonic, some are double choir, some are contrapuntal exercises. This is one of the more remarkable motets because it reflects a contrapuntal style, almost a neo-Renaissance style. Herr nun lässest, this motet, was the first of three motets that formed the Opus 69 of Mendelssohn, which were composed in the last year of his life. The motets use the text of the Canticle of Simeon, the Nunc Dimittis, Psalm 100, Yoxet Im Herren, and the Canticle of Mary, the Magnificat. These motets were written for four-part choirs, which is really unusual, with a solo quartet. The style is a polyphonic style in the lineage of all of the German traditions that came before Mendelssohn, Heinrich Schütz and Johann Sebastian Bach. The second motet is Richte mich Gott, Opus 78, Number 2. Among some of Mendelssohn's greatest compositions are a collection of a cappella motets written on psalm texts. This is a setting of Psalm 43 using a thick 8-part texture with sections of antiphonal calls between the treble and lower parts and quasi-recitative choral homophony. This motet is stunningly for double choir, with the most unusual unison choral recitative, I think, in the literature. The altos are given this incredible Mendelssohnian tune, accompanied by 8-part men, and it's so incredible, and it builds to the climax of the piece. The translation being, Judge me, O God, and lead my cause against the unholy people, and save me from wrong and evil people. Now, let's hear both of the motets by Felix Mendelssohn.
Thank you.
You've just heard music by Felix Mendelssohn, and I would like to leave you with one more track from this CD, Silence into Light, sung by the Westminster Williamson Voices, with your host conducting. Of all the pieces on this CD, this one perhaps is the most personal to me. Gail Polk was a professor of choral conducting at Temple University, and Gail was a teacher, he was a friend, and one of the biggest inspirations in my life. He was a deeply caring human being who first gave me my, I guess one would call it a personal affirmation that I could do something in the choral business. One day, I'm sitting in my office as his graduate student in my doctoral program, and there's a knock on the wall as Gail usually summoned me to his office, and I open the door, and he's sitting at the piano, and he said, "You have to hear this. I just did this in the last 20 minutes." And I sat down on the bench with him, and he had finished this arrangement of Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. For me, this piece not only reminds me of Gail, but of our times together. And for me and the choir, it was quite an emotional journey to sing and record this piece. So now you will hear this stunning arrangement, Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen, by American Gail Polk. You've just heard a setting of Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen by American composer Gail B. Polk. Dr. Polk passed away in 2016. Some of the tracks I've not played for you in this program are tracks from the great Canon Pokajanen of Arvo Pärt. Not to fear, but I'm going to explore those tracks on another Sounds Choral program. On today's program, we have been listening to the new CD, Silence Into Light, sung by the Westminster Williamson Voices, conducted by your host, James Jordan, on the GIA Choral Works label. The disc is available on Amazon and iTunes. Sounds Choral is produced at the studios of WWFM, the Classical Network, David Osenberg, producer. I'm your host, James Jordan, from Westminster Choir College. You can listen to any recent Sounds Choral program by going to our website, wwfm.org, and clicking on Classical and Webcasts. You can also support programming like this with a donation in membership at our website. Thanks so much for listening. Sounds Choral is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org.